Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to this nasally edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader and I have a cold. Whammy. But that doesn't slow down the show. It doesn't stop the show. We still have a show to put on, and we've got a good one for you today. We're going to be revisiting with one of the guys we talked to right before the NFL draft. He's now the running back, or a running back, on the Green Bay Packers. His name, Jarrell Presley. I'm going to talk to him about his wild roller coaster ride through the preseason and all the way up here now into week two, find out what he's got going on there in Green Bay. Also, you know, I'm part of the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League. Well, every week I'll have my opponent on, and this week it happens to be Joel Hanard of the Fantasy Insiders. He's going to join me a little bit later. We're going to talk about fantasy. Before we get into all of that, I want to tell you how to get in touch with us. Email us, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can also send us a tweet at NFU Podcast, and of course, all of our superfans, they write up previews for each and every game, so you can check out the individual superfan preview of every game right on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. All right, this is going to be a great interview here. One of the guys we spoke to right before the draft, we spoke to three of them, all three right now currently with teams. Brandon Jackson and Russell Hansborough on practice squads, but Jarrell Presley was an undrafted free agent to the Minnesota Vikings and then got picked up by the Green Bay Packers. Let's talk to him, find out what he's got going on. It's my pleasure now to bring in a guy that we met right before the NFL draft this season, and when we talked with him, I said, hey, I got a jersey waiting for you if none of these other teams have a jersey for you. Unfortunately, he didn't end up in New England, but he did have quite the journey. I'm talking about the running back for the Green Bay Packers, Jarrell Presley. Hello, Jarrell. Thanks for coming back to Next Fan Up.
How you doing, man? I'm excited to be back.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's talk a little bit about that journey, because, I mean, it had to have been quite the roller coaster for you. You know, we had talked about what your plans were going to be for draft weekend. Unfortunately, your name never got called on draft weekend. What were some of the emotions you were going through at that point?
As I said before, man, it was a blessing either I get drafted or undrafted free agent. So either way, I think I was going in the win-win situation for me.
So you get the call to go join the Vikings. What were your thoughts then as you're heading to Minnesota?
It was a great opportunity for me to showcase my talent and try to be a member of the Minnesota Vikings.
What was it like for you walking into a locker room and there's Adrian Peterson, widely regarded as the best running back in the game? What was that interaction like?
It was good. I just was trying to take everything I can and soak up all the knowledge I can from him and apply it to my game, not only just from him, from the other backs in the room too, like Jared McKinley and Matt Asiata.
Nice. Nice. How close tight were you guys as a group in terms of running backs? Like, you know, when I watch TV shows and movies, you know, it's always like the position groups are all hanging out with each other. I mean, is that what it's like? Are you guys all sort of hanging out in like a clique like that? Or do you sort of hang out with the linemen, the defensive players? What's the social life like after practice?
After practice, most people got family, so they want to be with their family. And if they don't have family, I mean, we all tend to hang out, chill out together. It's like a family in the locker room and after the locker room, you leave the locker room. So if you with your family, that's you with your family. But if not, you'll call the football players, the teammates as a family. You'll hang out and do things together.
So I was following you on Twitter, and you're at @little_Presley on Twitter, and I saw one of your guys talking about playing with you in Madden. What's that like, seeing your little character up on the video game screen?
Oh man, it's amazing, because I always remember me and my friends used to play Madden. I always had my we used to play the game. And I said, yeah, come to my house. And I always had my guy Creator already on the team. And I'm playing with him. They were like, man, you cheating. You cheating. You can't do that. And I was like, man, one day I ain't going to have to create myself. And then here it is. I didn't have to create myself. It was already on there. So seeing people playing with me, it was just, man, exciting.
So speaking of exciting, you go out in that fourth week of the preseason and you blew it up, scored 2 touchdowns, went 106 yards on a kickoff return for the Vikings. You talk about showcasing what you can do. I mean, you were like, boom, here I am. And then the Vikings said, we're all set. And but then you get picked up by the Green Bay Packers. I mean, that's got to be one heck of a roller coaster there, my friend.
Definitely it is. I mean, I definitely did. I tried to show out on the last preseason game just to show people I'm capable to play in this league and I'm capable to be as good as other players. And as everybody would tell me, you're not only performing for the Minnesota Vikings, you're also performing for the 31 other team. So I always had that in my back of my mind. But, you know, as a player getting picked up by the Minnesota Vikings, I wanted to make that team. But I appreciate the Vikings for the opportunity they gave me to showcase my talent. And as Green Bay Packers seeing the opportunity to pick me up, I had to go with it. It's a great move, and I feel good about the situation I'm in.
So I'm going to speculate here, and you can stop me if I overstep my bounds, but you were a healthy scratch this week. Some of the speculation was learning the playbook. How difficult is it to pick up a playbook from a team and try and assimilate with them, you know, that quickly? I mean, you had less than, what, 4 days with the team before the game?
Yeah. It's a job, so you got to figure out how to learn the playbook or find some way to do it. So it's difficult, but at the same time, you got to have the willpower and want to learn these plays.
So I know you said you've got no ill feelings for the Vikings, but you got a game coming up this week. You thinking revenge?
No, never revenge. It's not nothing bad with the Vikings. The Vikings, all they did was help me become the player I want to be and help me achieve what I wanted to achieve. There's no hard feelings with the Vikings, and the Vikings showed me nothing but love. This is a business, and I understand that. And the numbers did not fall out in my favor, but it did fall out in Green Bay Packers' favor.
I like it. I'm excited to see what you're going to do on that field for the Packers. I think from watching that game against Jacksonville, I think the certain skills you possess, my friend, are definitely going to come in handy for Aaron Rodgers and that team. Which leads us to this question from our Packers superfan who wants to know, you know, what are some of the differences you've noticed so far between the Vikings and the Packers? He threw in a shot at the Vikings. I'll leave that out.
What do you mean? He repeat the question again?
What are some of the differences you've noticed between the two organizations? Like, what's been different for you in Green Bay, or maybe even what's been similar for you between, you know, having been on both teams now?
Basically, I mean, it's the NFL, so it's really not too much different. They're both competing for one common goal, is to be Super Bowl champ. So it's really not different. It's just different terminology.
Gotcha. Our other super fans are very interested in learning more about sort of the nutrition and the diet and the workout regimen of NFL players. You know, we hear a lot of things about how teams go about doing that and how players go about taking care of themselves. One of our super fans wants to know, like, what do you eat, like, sort of on a daily basis? I mean, you must be burning off a ton of calories, so you must be able to eat quite a bit. But, you know, nutrition's obviously important to you. How do you keep yourself fit and in shape through the season?
During a normal day, I believe I just eat what the cafeteria applies for us, because they know what's best interest for us. So I definitely eat what the cafeteria gives us. I try to stay healthy with my fruits, eat my vegetables right, and stay away from the fatty food.
That's a shame, because I'm all about the fatty foods. They're the best. How about with your strength and conditioning training? James, he's our Texan super fan, is curious, you know, how you keep yourself being at peak on game day, which doesn't always fall on a Sunday. You know, how does the schedule sort of affect the way that you work out?
The way you just got to learn your body well, and I'm pretty sure I know my body well than anybody else. And you got to know how to take care of it. And your recovery is the best thing you could do. So if you have a game Sunday and play Thursday, you know on Monday you have to go and take care of your body to prepare for on Thursday. Because you definitely have to recover. And it's all about the recovery.
How different is the game speed? You know, we hear a lot from players that, the NFL, it's so fast, it's so fast. How different has the game speed felt to you in the NFL compared to your college days?
It's definitely faster. But in due time, I think once you get adjusted, you'll pick up the speed. But when I first got here, I seen a difference of speed as right away. So all I know is, I wasn't trying to be the guy in the back. I wasn't trying to be the guy to get caught. So I had to match win or make my speed above everybody else. So that's what I was trying to do since I got to Minnesota. And now that I'm in Green Bay, I'm still trying to match or beat people's speed now.
All right. How many touchdowns are you going to score this week?
Well, and I'm going to score as many touchdowns as I can, but we'll see.
Awesome. Well, Jarrell, you got big fans here at the Next Fan Up podcast. We're all rooting for you. We're all going to be watching for you. And, as long as it's not against my favorite team, we expect to see greatness out of you. And looking forward to watching you on Sundays.
Thank you.
So there goes Jarrell Presley, and I'm dead serious, man. If the Packers let him go, I got a jersey waiting for him in New England. James White did a fantastic job this week, but Deion Lewis, who knows what his injury situation is? Obviously, the Patriots do. I think Jarrell Presley would fit right in with that offense and would do a fantastic job. So I expect to actually see him maybe even score a touchdown this week against his former team. Hey, we have a brand new sponsor, and we're super excited about this one. You guys know that on every Thursday, we give our previews of the week, both from a fantasy perspective and from a gambling perspective. And if you like to gamble, well, then this is the perfect place to do it. We just encourage you to gamble responsibly. We want you to go try out BetDSI at BetDSI.com. If you use the promo code FANUP10, that's fan up the number 10, you can get yourself a little bit of a deal, a free $10 to try using their services and our promo code. BetDSI has been in business for over 20 years. They're a top-rated business. They are safe. It's easy to use, and they have great customer service, so if there's ever any problems, they'll fix the problem there for you. Fast payment of your winnings, and we all know that's always important. We want our winnings as quickly as possible. 100% bonus on your first deposit, hundreds of NFL wagers, and you can bet on the elections. I wonder if they have something for none of the above. I really hope they do, because as you guys know, we are endorsing none of the above to win the presidential election this coming presidential season. But hey, sign up, use our promo code FANUP10 and get yourself $10 to try the service. And don't forget that 100% bonus on your first deposit. That's BetDSI.com. And now it is time for the fantasy part of our Wednesday podcast. As you all know, I am a member of the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League. And every week I will have my opponent from the previous week on the show to talk about our matchup and sort of thoughts about fantasy moving forward. And it was week one, and Joel, stop me if you heard this story before. My guest is Joel Hennard of the Fantasy Insiders podcast. I feel like we met in week one last year, and I feel like the same result happened last year.
I think it did, Jay. I think it did. I think that you beat me by at least one or two points this year. Three. That's okay. It's week one. You know, we were talking, my wife and I were, you know, this is the easiest week of fantasy football because no one knows what's going on. You just kind of set your lineup with the best possible guys and you forget it until Monday.
It's pretty much it. You know, I fortunately was paying enough attention to bench Gronk and go pick up another tight end. So I managed to avoid the zero there. But I beat you with Dez Bryant getting a big fat zero, which I think nobody would have expected going into the week for sure.
Oh, definitely not. I was a little worried with the Cowboys offense, you know, with Romo going down. Didn't know what Dak's going to bring to the table. Didn't know how much Ezekiel Elliott's going to, you know, get touches now that Romo's, you know, down for the count for a while. Bryant getting a big zero definitely makes me nervous. I know I own him in another bigger league that I'm in. And with that zero, I lost two.
It's, I mean, Dak looked pretty good in terms of a rookie quarterback. I guess putting him in the right light, you could say he looked pretty good, but as a fantasy quarterback, he needs to find his biggest productive receiver, and that'd be Dez Bryant.
Yeah, he definitely needs to look down the field more. I feel that Jay, that he used Jason Witten a lot, you know, as a dump down. I don't know if he's comfortable to throw the long ball yet, and that's going to be the biggest question for me. I need to see it before I can trust it.
Jason Witten was exactly the tight end I went and was able to get. This is a 10-team standard scoring league, so I was able to get Jason Witten off the waiver wires to replace my Gronk. Who, again, I was surprised to see Gronk not playing. I thought, you know, I knew he had sort of a hamstring injury, but I didn't think it was that serious. I thought the Patriots were playing it safe in the preseason. But then again, that's why they're the Patriots. You never know what the heck is going on behind closed doors.
Yeah, the whole new injury rules. Do you think they benefit the New England Patriots just a tad, Jay? I do. You know, no problem anymore.
I think it totally benefits the Patriots. I think we're going to see a lot of gamesmanship. But I also know the NFL is looking hard at those. And considering the way that the NFL came down on the Patriots for this supposed expunging of air from footballs, you know, I don't know if they want to play the games too much.
Yeah, they're probably being watched just a tad, just a little bit by the NFL. Not too much. But, you know, looking at the Patriots, they're going to get Brady back. The young kid, what's his name? The kid who started for him.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Garoppolo. He didn't look that bad.
No. He actually, you know who he reminded me of? Reminded me of a young Tom Brady.
In a nice offense with, you know, nice offensive line, kind of keeps the guy protected, I think, a little bit, Jay.
You know, people keep saying it's ridiculous to think of. He's a future Hall of Famer. But Brady got his job because a star pro quarterback ended up getting hurt. And he was out for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. And when it came time to bring him back, they were like, no, we're good. I mean, I'm just saying, if you can play like that against the Cardinals, the next three teams he's facing, the Dolphins, the Jets, the Texans, these are not world beaters. These defenses are going to be even easier to go up against. Maybe the Jets, well, the Jets might give him some problems.
That better not happen because I have a plan in our Blog Talk Expert League. I also drafted Tom Brady, besides Cam Newton, to trade him in week five for a better running back and maybe a defense. So that better not happen.
Well, I'll let you know that I was also mistaken. It's not the Jets, it's the Buffalo Bills that he's facing. So even better for Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's not a bad question.
No, it's not a bad question to have at all, to have two serviceable quarterbacks at, you know, a 1A and a 1B. With Tom Brady still being the 1A and, you know, Garoppolo playing well over the next 4 weeks, they'll have big questions to ask themselves. We know it's not going to happen. They're bringing Tom Brady in week five, or it'll be week six, right? They have a bye in week five.
No, week five, they've got the Cleveland Browns.
They're going to play him against the Cleveland Browns.
They're going to play him against the Browns, and they're going for the scoring record. I have a strong feeling. That's going to be a game. You want to start all your Patriots. Speaking of starting all of the same team, where we've really buried the lead here is going into the Monday night game. I had Ben Roethlisberger, but you had Antonio Brown, and I believe you had somebody else. No, you didn't.
I didn't.
Did you? No. No. Antonio Brown. So really, the difference in this game is that Roethlisberger threw three touchdowns, but only two of them to Antonio Brown.
Yeah, you got 22 points out of Roethlisberger. I got 24 out of Brown. If he would have hit him with that third touchdown, I might have won.
Just yeah.
Based on points in the ESPN standard scoring. Yeah, I would have won. So there's that. But it was a fun first week because I looked at my team and didn't think that I was going to be competitive at all. And then Newton on the first day puts up 20. Brown, I was expecting. So the guy that's going to scare me to death all season long, Jay, is Jeremy Langford.
Mm.
I'm a Bears fan, and he's awful.
Tell me how you really feel.
I know he got me 11 fantasy points, but that Bears offensive line and his running strategy, it just doesn't look like it's going to be a good fit for fantasy owners and the Bears.
It's, yeah, he placed 23rd in terms of total yards rushing this week. But I did want to bring this point up to you because only two running backs this week went over the 100-yard mark, and that's Lamar Miller in Houston and D'Angelo Williams in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it was kind of shocking. I own Adrian Peterson in another league, in my other league, and you know he got a whopping 3 points. When you're seeing things like that from the running back position, you have to get kind of worried. And the big discussions this year, Jay, on our shows have been, is the running back by committee now going to be the wave of the future for fantasy owners? Are we going to have to worry about this week in and week out? And the answer that we gave was yes.
Hmm. I would have to agree, as I have both Danny Woodhead and Melvin Gordon on my bench. Both of them scored 17 points this week. I have no idea how I'm going to manage that. Fortunately, I do have Matt Forte and Eddie Lacy, so I may not have to manage that. Maybe I have to deal them away for a suspended quarterback. Just saying.
It might have something to look at, but Melvin Gordon scoring two touchdowns in the first week and not having any last year in his rookie campaign. Did you think San Diego was trying to give him the ball?
Maybe just a little bit. Just a little bit.
And we all going to get his touches. Rivers loves him.
I got to see the end of that game. And saw the great comeback by the Kansas City Chiefs, which would make me slightly concerned, as it was Woodhead that was in the game, not Gordon. You'd have thought that San Diego, at one point, they were up quite large, would be trying to run the clock out with their big back.
You would think so. They just kept making mistake after mistake after mistake. Once it was 21-3, I think, when Keenan Allen got hurt, and after that, they looked confused. That was one of the games that we were watching on Sunday. The comeback was amazing by the Chiefs. Alex Smith just kept plugging down the field with, you know, the guys that he has, and San Diego just crumbled under that type of pressure. And it was impressive to watch.
So you ended up on the other half of the winner's bracket this week, but don't worry, four other people did too. You like how I set that up for you? Let's see, who do you have next week here, Joel?
Let's see here. I have week two. Play Matt Chatham.
Hmm.
Should be an interesting game. I'm scheduled to lose right. No, I'm scheduled to win right now, 96-93. Looks like ESPN's giving me all the advantages except for Doug Martin and his tight end Jordan Reed, where I'm playing Delanie Walker, and that's about it on that one. Yeah, it's got me.
I am facing Doug from Team DFSR. I am actually currently favored in this one. Let's look at these check marks because I broke this down last week. I didn't do it with you on the line, but I was like, you know, I don't know if I agree with some of these check marks. But Adrian Peterson over Eddie Lacy, yes. Matt Forte over Christian Michael, yeah. Actually, this is all looking pretty good here. Spencer Ware over Golden Tate, yeah, but I'm not going to have Golden Tate in my starting lineup again. I thought that would be a sneaky good flex play. I obviously flexed myself out of that one. The Panthers. Oh, this is where the difference of this game will be, Joel. In my matchup, I've got the Panthers D versus San Francisco. He has the Chiefs D at Houston. I believe that it will be the difference in this fantasy matchup in this on this particular week.
I agree with you. It's all going to come down to the defense. Can San Francisco do what they did against the Panthers like they did against the Rams last night? And the Chiefs aren't that bad. I got to watch Houston this week pummel the Bears, so they don't they let the Bears score points on them. That never makes me happy because – the Bears are terrible. They shouldn't score points on anyone.
You Bear fans, you guys crack me up all the time. Our Chicago super fan, Tom, is of a similar mindset. He just comes on and he's just like, listen, I'm not going to lie. The Bears stink. I love it.
They're pretty bad.
Well, Joel, tell people where they can find you.
I'm on Twitter. I'm at Joel Hennard. Nice and simple. Kept my name. Didn't feel like going anywhere else with that. Nice and easy. Our show is every Monday night on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Fantasy Insider Show with myself, Joel Hennard, and Mike Hilbig, the fantasy doctor. And you can check out all of our work over at socalledfantasyexperts.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Joel, thanks for joining me. Thanks for being part of the league and, you know, I'm sure we're going to meet again at some point down the road. I'm also sure I'm not going to keep this winning streak alive.
I will make this playoffs this year, Jay. I'm determined to make the playoffs in the Blog Talk League. I've actually been taking notes, like I told you earlier. I got my waiver wire guys already set up. I'm coming for you guys this year.
So there goes Joel. You know, one of the things that we noticed on our Thursday preview last week was that we have jam-packed so much information into those preview shows that we just don't know when to stop. And honestly, we're such huge football fans, we could literally talk about this game 24 hours, 7 days a week. And we do in a private Slack group. Maybe that's something that will develop as time goes on. Maybe we'll start inviting some of you guys into our Slack group so you can see some of the conversations that we, the super fans, are having about football. But we also noticed that we're trying to put so much information into there. Why don't we move our Thursday preview to the Wednesday podcast? And that made a ton of sense. So here you go. Without further ado, Thursday Night Football featuring the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills. Here's Andrew, our Jet superfan, and Rob, our Bills superfan, previewing Thursday Night Football.
Week two in the NFL, and it still feels kind of weird to be saying this, but we have Thursday Night Football this early in the season. I don't know if it's a good thing, it's a bad thing. People have other opinions on it. We have football early in the week, but also might not be the best brand of football. But We have two division rivals. We have my Jets and Rob. We have here his Bills. And the Jets former coach Rex Ryan are facing off with my Jets this Thursday in Buffalo. Rob, how do you feel about this game coming off a pretty disappointing loss against Baltimore, where you guys only put up 7 points against a Ravens team whose defense was decent last year, but isn't anything close to what you're going to see this week?
No, that's kind of the big worry. I expected, I figured running the ball last week would be a little tough. I like the Ravens front with Brandon Williams and Jernigan and Guy. The Bills couldn't do anything on the ground. They were able to kind of do had a couple plays where they had small decent runs, but nothing sustaining. Tyrod Taylor, it was probably the worst game I've seen him play since he's been the quarterback for the Bills. He was locking onto receivers, which is, you know, obviously, you know, not good. He was getting frazzled in the pocket. He was trying to break too early. He had actually, I think it was according to Pro Football Focus, he was the number two quarterback this week as far as time in the pocket between snap and delivery. He had something like 2.98 seconds. Aaron Rodgers was number one. The worry for me is he was being frazzled in this situation, the quarterback who had the least amount of time between snap to throw was Andrew Dalton, who was under 2 seconds. And the team he played was the New York Jets. It's a short week, so I think anything can really happen game plan wise. I think these games, my personal opinion is playing a game on a Thursday after a Sunday game is silly. You know, players that are dinged up that might be able to play in a Sunday game are not going to play, might potentially not play in a Thursday game. And it's an important game. I mean, this is a division game, you know, for both these teams. So it matters. Yeah, and
it does matter because both teams are coming off losses. Neither team obviously want to start 0-2. Don't want to start 0-2. But I don't have the Bills schedule in front of me. But the Jets, it's well known right now that they had probably the toughest first six games in football. It was the Bengals last week, who they lost by a point to in classic Jetsian fashion. And they had this Bills game, which is probably, I mean, no offense, Rob, maybe the easiest one on the slate. And then they face Kansas City, Arizona, Seattle, and Pittsburgh over the next 4 weeks. So the Jets need to win this game, and they're in prime position to win it because, as you said, it's a short week, which doesn't really allow for banged-up players to play. And it doesn't look like Cordy Glenn is going to play stud left tackle for Buffalo. And Sammy Watkins might not play. I mean, there's a bunch of conflicting reports that came out today regarding his foot. A lot of people say it might just be a pain tolerance thing. But we'll see with that. And the Jets, as well as they played on the D-line last week, they didn't have Sheldon Richardson, and he's coming back too. So I it's going to be difficult for Buffalo to move the ball, but – again, Tyrod moves the ball in very unconventional ways to play backyard football type of game, and the Jets gotta learn to keep him in the pocket, to not let him escape. Well, let him sit there. I mean, you got the Bills only really have one target that's gonna scare you, and he's running on one leg right now, so they should be able to figure it out when it comes to that side of the ball. What else are you looking for on that side of the ball when Buffalo is going up against the Jets defense?
You kind of hit on it. And also, schedule-wise for the Bills, after this, their next two are at home against Arizona and in New England. The Jets, I think, have a killer start. But the Bills is, you know, it's not a fun first four for them either. You know, and with losing the first one, it could really set up for an ugly first quarter of the season. I would love to see a receiver other than Sammy Watkins step up. I'd love to see, you know, Robert Woods make a play. Marquise Goodwin, you know, he's got the track speed. I mean, he's made of glass, but he hasn't been hurt yet. So, you know, let's make a play down the field. You know, let's stretch the game. The Bills didn't try any long throws last week at all. The longest play throw, I think, was a 20-yarder that was on a broken play that went to the tight end. So they need to – I'd like to see him stretch the field a little bit more, kind of open things up a little bit. It's going to be a tough game for them because they're kind of a team that likes to run to set up the pass, and it's they're going to have trouble running against this team.
Yeah, they're going to have trouble running on the Jets, but – another thing that to look out for in terms of LeSean McCoy is his pass protecting. Last week, he was only pass protecting on 7 snaps, and he allowed 4 pressures on Tyrod Taylor. And last he was facing the Ravens, and yeah, they got a good D-line. But again, I've got to mention this because it's like one of the few things that stood out last week in terms of positive things for the Jets is their D-line was getting penetration at will. And without Cordy Glenn, it's gonna be an issue, but let's move to the other side of the ball where things aren't much better for my team. Ryan Fitzpatrick historically against Rex Ryan, it's not pretty. I believe he's only won twice against Rex Ryan in his career, and that's about out of like 9-10 games, and one of them came in relief. And then last year, all you have to do is watch those two games and see that Rex knows how to bother him. And Fitzpatrick just needs to learn not to force throws when they're not there. Just dump it off to Forte or Powell and let them get the yardage. And the strength of the Bills' defense right now is their two corners, Darby and Stephon Gilmore. But they are going to have a tough matchup with Marshall and Decker. So, I mean, you could say they cancel each other out. But, again, it's not that simple. But the Jets should be able to give Fitzpatrick time because Buffalo really only has Jerry Hughes right now in terms of pass rush because Darius is still on suspension and Shaq Lawson still needs to come back. So the Jets should be able to give Fitzpatrick time, and it's just a matter of him not making a stupid decision and just taking what's there.
Yeah, I think – I mean, as far as the Bills' pass, they are, you know, Hughes is he was one of the bright spots on the defense. I was actually pretty encouraged by the way that defense played against Baltimore, considering the disappointment the year before, and you know the guys that they brought in that aren't there now, and you're missing Darius. I believe we're on our fourth edge opposite of Hughes, sorry. Yeah, I think so. You know, it was a fairly encouraging game. Rex Ryan does seem to have his way with Fitzpatrick, which is encouraging for this game because there's not, you know, as a Bills fan, there's not a ton of bright spots going into this week. What's scary to me is Forte is a type of back that can destroy Buffalo. They have, you know, the past couple of years, they've been brutal at kind of the screen game, you know, the running back dump off, things like that. They have a lot of trouble in that with those type of plays. And Forte,
yeah, that's a Rex Ryan thing. I mean, I could tell you that as a Jet fan throughout all his years, no matter how much he shut down the receivers, there's always the running backs and the tight end. That hurt the Jets. I mean, the Jets don't really have a tight end to hurt you. I mean, Quincy Enunwa is essentially the tight end, but he's a receiver, and people are going to learn more about this guy as the year goes on because he's a matchup nightmare because you put him on the field and you give your quarterback an option to run or pass, and if you see that Buffalo has or any other team has small personnel on the field, then you run it down their throat and have Enunwa block the guy. But if you see that there's a linebacker on him, you have Enunwa outrun him. So I think that's a sneaky guy to watch out for. Is there anything else that you want to say before we get to our predictions, Rob?
Just as far as defense, Forte is, I think, kind of the X factor in this game when the Bills' defense is out there because if they do it rightly and if, you know, Fitzpatrick's disciplined, you know, he'll be a nightmare for them all game long. It's really kind of down to that as far as, you know, when the Jets have the ball.
Yeah. So I'm going to predict that the Jets are going to win, but it's going to be a typical Jets game that they're going to make it a lot closer than it needs to be. I'm going to go 21-16 with Buffalo having the ball at the end of the game and the Jets being able to stop them and giving me a heart attack.
I think, New Era Stadium is going to be rocking. It's funny saying that. I think that it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think that this is a game the Bills shouldn't win. That being said, knowing Rex Ryan, they probably neglected to even game plan for the Baltimore game all that much and have been game planning for the Jets game. I don't think that's really out of the realm of possibilities. So I'm going to, even though logically I don't think it makes much sense, I'm going to predict the Bills are going to win the game. Some ugly, like 13-12, a lot of field goals, one touchdown in the game. It's going to be ugly. The only I saw this stat a little while ago. The only thing I'm taking solace in is the Rex Ryan's best season with the Jets. His week one, he lost to the Baltimore Ravens, and their offense had 176 yards of offense. This year, the Buffalo Bills lost to the Baltimore Ravens and had 176 yards of total offense.
That team was my favorite Jets team of all time, the 2010 Jets. They lost that Monday night game to Baltimore. But you guys don't have the receivers the Jets had with Holmes and the
time. I'm just Edwards reaching, man. Time. I need something.
Well, you reached enough to predict a Buffalo win. We'll see what happens.
If the Bills don't win this game, they're going 0-4.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, they're not beating Arizona. They're probably not beating New England. I mean –
I just spit on the ground when you said New England. I don't know that wasn't a reflex. I don't know what that was. But I just had some phlegm when he mentioned New England. So we're gonna see what happens, and we'll talk soon, Rob. I appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely, man. Have a good one.
All right, there you have it. Two teams that I'm obviously not a huge fan of, as they're both in the AFC East, but I've got a pretty good idea of what both of those teams are gonna present. You know, the Jets, I thought, played fairly well against that Cincinnati Bengals team this past week. But you also know that I'm on record of seeing them go 0-6, 0-7 to start off their season at the present time. Now, I might be a little bit on the ridiculous side, but I don't think I'm that far off, quite honestly. And I think this week is, again, the next best chance for the Jets to try and steal a victory here, but they're at Buffalo. And honestly, Buffalo is not that much worse than the New York Jets. They're not great, but they're also not that bad. And they are in Buffalo, and this is Rex Ryan's former team, and these two teams do play each other rather tight. When I look at what's going to be the differentiating factor between the two teams, I look at home field advantage, and this game is being played in Buffalo. So I'm taking the Buffalo Bills here. I don't feel extremely confident about that pick. And there goes our show. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be doing this every Wednesday. If you don't want to miss any of our shows, because we do have quite a bit of content for you this year for the next Fan Up podcast, we have these interview shows every Wednesday, our preview show coming up tomorrow, and I have a very special email, because I've seen it already, that we'll be talking about on the show tomorrow, so you're not going to want to miss that. Preview shows every Friday, every Thursday, and fantasy, daily fantasy advice from a couple of our super fans that play the game quite extensively. That'll be on every Friday. And then, of course, we have the recaps, the view from all 32 superfans on Sundays, available to you first thing Monday morning. To get all that, to not miss any of those episodes, subscribe to our show on iTunes, leave us a review. We'd love to hear from you. We want to read your reviews. And beyond that, if you'd like to join our group, we do have a couple of superfan openings. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Tennessee Titans, the Detroit Lions, just to name a few. You can email us, nextfanup@gmail.com. It's the best way to get in touch with us. Or you can send us a tweet at NFU Podcast. And of course, you can check out all the previews that we have for you and our podcast. They're available on facebook.com/NFU Podcast. Or just search Next Fan Up on the Facebook site. Page shows right up for you. We'll have another interview show next week. I don't know who besides Doug of DFSR will have on the show. We'll work on something, though. We'll have a good surprise for you, and We'll be back again tomorrow with the previews. Here's Jeff Fisher. Oh, boy. I hope he learned a lot more than just this. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.